Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m., here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Good morning. We welcome you to First Christian Church. We're so glad you've chosen to worship here with us today. It's a great Sunday morning to be together as a church family. I'm Dave Yonker. I'm a senior pastor here, and it's my pleasure to welcome you all into our congregation here today. Welcome us who are here in the sanctuary. Welcome our friends who are joining us on Facebook Live and also through our church website. Wherever we find ourselves here today, it is wonderful to be in the house of the Lord in this wonderful season of Advent. So as we gather for worship, we invite you to take out your worship bulletin that you received on the way in the main doors this morning. And on the right-hand side, you'll find our tear-off sheet that says Connect at the very top. And so we ask you to tear it off now and fill it out by connecting with us and letting us know that you were here with us in church today. On the back side, you can tick one of those boxes if you'd like to know more information about some of the ministries that we have here in the church. You can also jot down prayer concerns or praises that you have in your life. And after you fill it out, you can drop it in the offering plates that are located outside the sanctuary doors on both the left and right-hand side. You can take them with you as you leave the sanctuary following our worship service today. For our friends who are joining us online, you're invited to go to our church website, burlingtondoc.org, and there you can download a copy of today's worship bulletin, and you can follow along with us from wherever you find yourself here today. On the very back of your bulletin, you see things that are going on in the life of our church family. You see the note at the very bottom there that we're looking forward to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day services here. On Christmas Eve, we'll have two services, one at 7 and then one at 9. And on Christmas Day, it was a Sunday this year, we just have one service at 10 o'clock, a little kind of Christmas Day special blended service, and so just one service on Christmas Day at 10. Also, on Christmas Eve, we're going to be having a little soup supper at 5:30 for friends in our church family who would just like to have somebody to have dinner with on Christmas Eve. And so we have lots of things that are going on, and that we're so looking forward to great things in this wonderful season. If you picked up last week when you were here, one of our little invitation postcards, but you would like some more, they're located at the Church Welcome Center. You can grab one on your way out. We hope that you will invite someone else to worship here with you at First Christian Church in this wonderful Advent season. We're also taking up sign-up sheets for Salvation Army bell ringing on Tuesday, December 20th. You can sign up at the Welcome Center. And you also see the note that this Tuesday is the second of our three little Advent worship services. We had a great time this past Tuesday at our little service at 6 p.m. And we had a great time in fellowship at the meal following in the fellowship hall. And so if you would like a little extra to mark this holy season, we hope that you'll join us for worship on Tuesday night here this week. Lastly, we held our annual congregational meeting today in between our worship services. Because we've kind of scrunched the time in between the first and second service, we did things a bit differently, and so we held our congregational meeting in the fellowship hall. If you did not make it, but you would still like to vote and would like more information, there are ballots and there is next year's church budget located at the Welcome Center. You can pick them up as you leave the church later on today. We also heard a report from our search committee, and we've been voting today on our youth and family pastor candidate, Annika McVeigh. And so we hope that you will pick up information as you leave the church later on today. It's a special day in the life of our church for our third graders, and so Pastor Brooke's going to come forward for a little Bible presentation.
We are excited to welcome our third grade students here from the church forward today to receive their Bible. I'd like to invite anyone who's in third grade to come forward now. Yeah, you can just stand there. I'm going to talk to you guys for a minute, so come on up. Right now, your Bible looks brand new, because it is. We hope that it won't look brand new for long. As you read it, the spine might get cracked. Some pages might get folded down. You might underline or circle something that seems important to you. These are all good things. We are getting these Bibles so that we will use these Bibles. God commanded the community of faith in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7, which you can find in here, to keep God's words in their heart, to recite them, and to talk about them at home and when they're away, when they're lying down, when they're waking up in the morning, to teach their children these words. And at the same time, we are always supported and sustained by God's holy stories that are in this Bible. This book is a way that God still speaks to us in every situation in life. As the Bible itself says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be equipped for every good work. So we invite you to carry these Bibles with you to church, to bring them for a jump or to read here in the sanctuary, to read them at home, to take them in the car. This is a companion for you, and it is God always with you, your ever faithful companion. Now, we have something kind of fun. We have a challenge for you, and this is not just for our third graders, but for anyone who would like to participate. To get you started with your brand new Bibles, we want to challenge you to read the book of Matthew by Easter. You have a few months. Okay, we've got several months. This gives you a few months to read the first gospel in the New Testament. You'll read important stories all about Jesus' life, and you'll read about how Christ's life changed the world. And if you complete this challenge, we would like to give you a gift of ice cream. Just a little incentive for us, and that extends to anybody who would like to do that, reading that first gospel, the book of Matthew, by Easter. Okay, so I'm going to pray for your Bibles now. Won't you pray with me? Lord, we pray your blessing on these Bibles. We know that they hold your inspired word and stories of your great and mighty works in the world. We thank you, O God, for entrusting your word to us and pray that we would use these Bibles regularly and wisely. Bless those who hold your word in their hands and bless their study of it. Thank you, O God, for the gift of your word. In your son's precious name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn around. Ron wants to take a picture of you with your new Bibles.
Let's give thanks for our third graders today. We're now invited to stand up and say good morning to the friends who are around us, and we can wave to our friends who are online with the camera up over my head. You're invited to remain standing. The Moyner and Johnson family is coming forward for our call to worship and Advent wreath reading. You can follow along with the words on the screen. They're also printed inside your worship bulletin. We lit the first of our candles last week, the candle of hope, and so we have our second candle in the second Sunday of Advent here this morning.
We have heard the promise. God's chosen one will soon be among us. We must make ready.
Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight.
The wilderness's places of our lives may threaten to overwhelm us.
We easily lose our way.
But the second candle adds its light. This candle of wisdom and preparation, this candle of peace, joins the candle of hope. Would you please join us in prayer? O Lord, send us your spirit to the wild corners of our hearts. Grant us wisdom and understanding that we will prepare well for the coming of your promised counselor. Amen.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. Tail as big as a kite.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd.
shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the trees, with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? The palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. The king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere, listen to what I say. The child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us the blessed light. He will bring us good.
Let us pray. O loving God, whose purpose it is to make peace abide among all your people, make us a new people here today. Make peace ready among us all, that your peace may reign within us, within our relationships, our land, and around all your world. This we pray in the name of the one who is the Prince of Peace, Christ our Lord. Amen. We invite you to be seated, and as you're doing so, we invite the young kids of our church to come down forward to meet Pastor Brooke for today's Children's Moment.
Good morning, everyone. How are you doing this morning? All right. I'm glad. I'm enthusiastic to be here with you as well. I have a question for you. If you wanted to send a message to someone, if you wanted to tell someone something or get some kind of a message across, how would you send a message? Really?
To Santa.
Oh, you'd send a message to Santa. That is absolutely a good idea this time of year. Good idea. But how? How might you send a message to Santa? Ooh, send him a text. Okay, yes, text messaging is one way. I didn't know we could text Santa, frankly, but it is one way that we can send a message. What's another way we can send a message? One second. What? by writing. And you said a mailman, so you both sisters go together. You can send a letter, right? That's one way we send a message. What's another way we send a message? Can you think of any other ways we might? Hunter? How might we send a message? Oh. You have a Santa cam on your tree, and you could send him a message through that. Wow. Wow. Let's see. Jack? Okay, you could send somebody a video. Those tape things from, yeah, days of yore. Yeah, you could send a tape to someone in the mail. Yeah, with a message. Yeah. Ooh, you could use a typewriter. I like it. Yes. Yeah. Oh, you could, she knew what I had behind me. One thing that's kind of funny is a message in a bottle. Now, you can't really control who gets your message, but I've got a little piece of paper in there, if you can see it. And sometimes people roll up a message, they put it in a bottle, and they put it in the ocean, and they just let it go. And whoever gets it gets to read that message. Yeah, it's not a very efficient way, but it's a way to send a message. I have a couple other ideas here. Have a little note. If you wanted to send a note, sometimes, not that any of you would, sometimes kids send notes in class that look a little like this. I also have the newspaper. You could put a message or an advertisement or something in the newspaper. You have another way? If you have an elf, you could tell your elf. So there's lots of ways for us to send messages. Now, what about God? I wonder, can you think of any ways in the Bible that God sent messages? Yeah. Okay. Can you think of any examples? When did God write a message? Do you remember any? Okay, maybe he wrote it with the tip of a feather. I was kind of thinking the time when Moses gets the Ten Commandments, those are written on these big stone tablets, and God sends those to Moses, right, in these big stone tablets. What's another way we read in the Bible that God sends messages?
Santa.
Santa's not in the Bible. Hate to tell you that. Jack? Writes on stones, yeah, kind of like those tablets, yeah. Oh, yes, he speaks to people. One of the really interesting ways that God uses his voice, I love that idea, is through a bush that's on fire. There's this bush, and Moses comes across it, and it's on fire, and God's voice speaks through that bush. How else? You do? Okay, you have an elf on a shelf at home. So there's lots of ways that God sends messages in the Bible. And there's one more way I want to tell you about, and that is that sometimes God sends an angel. And we think of angels a lot with Christmas time, don't we? There's angels on our trees back there. At home, I have an angel at the top of my tree. We see angels in decorations all over Christmas time. And it's because in the Christmas story, God sends angels to share messages a lot. Today, we're going to hear about an angel named Gabriel. And we heard about Gabriel last week as well, because last week, just a minute, please. Last week, Gabriel talked to Zechariah. But in today's message, Gabriel talks to Mary. And I don't know about you, but if I saw an angel, I might have a lot of feelings. I'm thinking maybe Mary had a lot of feelings too. I mean, an angel appears, I might be a little afraid. I might be surprised or confused. But even more than the angel appearing, then the angel gives important news. That's usually what angels do in the Bible. They share very important news. The angel tells Mary that God has chosen her to become pregnant and have God's son, Jesus. Can you imagine? She's stunned and surprised and maybe even scared of the angel, and then this big news. I imagine that she had lots of feelings about this, and then after all that, she gives thanks to God. She sings a song a little later giving thanks for this beautiful gift she's received. Now, at the end of our message today, she tells the angel, Mary tells the angel, after all of this crazy news she gets, she tells the angel, "Lord, I am your servant. Here I am, let it be as you have said." So basically she says, "I am God's servant, I will do what you have told me." As shocking as this news was for her, she said, "God, I am your servant, I will do it." And God calls all of us to do all different kinds of things in life. Sometimes those things are hard, and my hope is that like Mary, we'll say, "Yes, God, we are your servant, we will follow you." Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for angels and messengers in the Bible and for all the ways you share your messages with the people of the Bible. God, we pray that even when you ask us to do challenging things, we might say like Mary, "Here I am, God. I am your servant. Use me." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, just a second. Miss Kathy has something. Look over there. Thank you, Sam. As we come into this time of prayer together, I know that each of us have people that we are thinking about, praying about, family, friends, news stories, maybe even things in our own lives. And so we bring all of that with us when we go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Emmanuel, God with us, we come this day to worship you. We rejoice because of the great things that you have done. We praise you for raising our spirits, for dispersing the gloomy clouds of our nights. You bring us light and life, and for this we give you thanks. We thank you for all that you give us that is good and right and true. The gift of your presence in our lives is something that we never take for granted. We are ever mindful that you have come and promised to stay with us forever. Thank you for making yourself known in the Christ child, the Prince of Peace, and bringing us into your presence. Though we fall short of expectations and make mistakes all the time, you have faith in us and you know us better than anyone. We trust you and we feel safe in you. Thank you for being our safe place. God, at the same time, we recognize that we need forgiveness, and so we pray that you would forgive us whenever we create mistrust or whenever we cause others to feel unsafe. Forgive us when we insist on our own way. Forgive us when we don't tell the whole truth. Forgive us when we discount or minimize the legitimate needs of others. Instill in us compassion for others. Help us to be mindful and considerate of the needs of others. We pray that we may be advocates of justice for those who are oppressed. Make us good stewards of the earth, of water, of air, and all the amazing resources that you have given to us in this earth. Inspire us to share your good news with those who do not know you. We pray for the poor and those without work. We pray for the sick and those in need of healing. For those who are sad over being separated from loved ones through death or divorce or family disagreements. We remember your promise to comfort those who mourn. God, we pray that you would make us strong, that we may serve you with boldness. Reinforce our unending love for you in Christ Jesus, born of Mary. It is in his name that we lift together the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered in her heart what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end."
Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God indeed.
We're continuing today with our Angels of Christmas sermon series. This season and the stories that go along with it are so wonderful because they are so familiar. We hear them every single year in church. We sing them in your car as you're driving down the road on the Christmas radio stations. We hear them even in the Charlie Brown Christmas special. They're in the nativity scenes that we have at home in our ones here at church. We hear all about the baby Jesus born in the manger there and his love being born again in our lives every single year. And so with this wonderful story that we hear every single year, sometimes we view it from different perspectives. Maybe it's the wise men, maybe it's the shepherds, maybe it's from Mary pondering things in her heart, maybe it's even Joseph nervous about what he's supposed to do. We've talked about what the candles mean for us of hope and peace and joy and love. Each way is a different way to view the same wonderful old story. And so this year in our church, we're hearing the perspective from the angels of Christmas. Last week, we got to meet the angel Gabriel when he came to Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband. The angel came to him and said that your wife, Elizabeth, is going to give birth to a son. You're going to name him John. He'll be called John the Baptist, and he will prepare the way for the Messiah Christ to come. That's where we started last week. This week, the angel Gabriel shows up again, just like he did with Zechariah, but this time he comes to Mary. Now, maybe you remember the story that we heard last week. Maybe you want to go back and read it on your own in Luke chapter 1. But if you heard it before, then maybe you noticed that when the angel comes to Zechariah, we know already a lot about him. We know that he was old. His wife was old, he said. He had a job. He had a life. He was a priest serving in the house of the Lord. And so we know when and where exactly where he was when Gabriel came to speak to him. Much like in our own life, we can remember the exact time and place when we received news that completely changed our life. That was what it was like for Zechariah. But that's not the case for Mary. In fact, we hardly know a single thing about her. Tradition with a capital T says that she was young, legally engaged to Joseph, but not yet married. And that's about it. We can gather that she was like 13, 14, 15, 16 years old tops. And so maybe she would have been working at home. Maybe she was out in the yard. Maybe she was at school someplace. We don't know much. We just know that the angel Gabriel showed up to her and said, "Greetings! Hello! Rejoice! The Lord is with you!" And so with this, Mary's not quite sure what to do. The Bible says she's much perplexed by these words, which is a very kind way to say, I think, that she's not quite sure what to do with this message, with an angel there in front of her. She is perplexed. And in my mind, when the angel comes to her and says, "Rejoice, the Lord is with you," she's like, "Me? What? What's this angel doing here in my midst?" The angel says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Mary, because you found favor with God." In fact, with the angel saying, "Don't be afraid," the angel tells this to her before she's asked to do anything, before she hears anything about being pregnant with the Lord Jesus, about anything about her relative Elizabeth being pregnant. In fact, the very first thing the angel says is, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Maybe you've heard this refrain in the scriptures before. Maybe you've heard the story of Advent. You've heard this leading up to Christmas. And so maybe you've heard this line, don't be afraid, other places. It's true. It's in every single story. Very often when the person who's standing opposite the angel is terrified about what the Lord is calling them to do, their first reaction that they need to hear is the angel saying, don't be so afraid. It's in every single story. In a couple of weeks, we're going to hear the story about the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night, and this whole massive host of angels is suddenly right in front of their midst, and they were scared and terrified, and so the whole host of angels all say together, don't be afraid. Next week, we're going to hear the story from Joseph's perspective, that he's going to be a new father, and when he's questioning how all this is possible, the angel said, don't be so afraid. And it's not just here in this season, in these readings. In fact, there was that old time in the Bible when the disciples were in this boat out on the Sea of Galilee. And the storm was raging and the wind was blowing and there was lightning and thunder and the boat was rocking back and forth like they were at Six Flags or Adventureland or someplace. And they were terrified. They were convinced they were going to sink to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. When suddenly the Bible says Jesus came walking across the water. And the first thing that Jesus says as the storm is calmed is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's the same line that shows up when Peter, James, and John are with Jesus on top of this high mountain. And suddenly Jesus' clothes change and he's dazzling white and he's shining like the sun. And there with Jesus on either side suddenly are Moses and Elijah. And to be honest, Peter, James, and John aren't quite sure what to do with themselves. They fall to the ground and they are scared to death when in that moment the voice from heaven says, don't be so afraid. Even in that Old Testament story in the book of Ruth, when Naomi's husband passes away and she finds herself alone and a widow and she doesn't know what to do. And she's not quite sure where to turn. And her daughter-in-law Ruth comes and says, we're in this together. And so we don't have to be so afraid. This theme is literally all over the Bible. And it's there for a reason. It's not just there with Gabriel standing at the doorstep calling us to change our life and follow Christ. But the message is there of not being afraid because we know what it is like to be afraid. I mean, don't we know that the world around us knows how to make us afraid and tell us who to be afraid of? There are days when we feel like Mary and Joseph and we are tired and we are scared and we do not know what to do. We are weary and worn out from stress. We are anxious about work and family. And there are days when we don't want to wake up in the morning because we see what is on our calendar and we don't know how things are going to turn out. We've heard the good news that we're supposed to turn things over to God, and we hear that, and like deep down we even believe it, but we have a hard time actually doing it. For when it comes to giving God all of our worries and stresses, we are the ultimate kind of re-gifter. We give it to God, and then we take it right back immediately. And like Mary and everybody else, we are worried and stressed about all kinds of things in life. Even those people that we know and love and share life with, they will tell us, don't be so afraid. Don't worry so much, when obviously they are not worried about life. That never really helps, does it? It makes us just worry double because obviously they're not worrying very much in life. And so now we have our worries and their worries and everybody else's all piled into one. It's no wonder the angel Gabriel is always saying, don't be so scared and afraid. Because we are. But the angel comes to Mary, and the shepherds, and everybody else and says, don't worry. The reason the angel says not to worry is because the angel says nothing is impossible with God. The Apostle Paul picked this up and he told it to his friends in Philippians 4. He said, I can do all things through Christ because God gives me strength. He told it to his friends in his letter to the church in Rome. He says, God works through all things to bring good in all situations. The angels remind us that God is in the miracle working, the barrier breaking, the way making kind of business. It doesn't mean that all of our prayers are answered in the exact way in which we want them, but it means that God is never through with us. That God is always moving and stirring and making a way when there seems to be no way possible. Because the angel came to that young, unmarried woman in that tiny town in a faraway place, and God said, I will use you to make a way for Christ. And if God can use her, then God can use us. Nothing is impossible with God, because God is always moving. That is the hope and plea and peace in which we place our trust, because that is the hope of the gospel. And so we don't have to be so afraid. O loving and gracious God, in this season of Advent, when the candles of hope and peace burn brightly here in front of us, we place before you all the cares and concerns and worries of our life. We know, O God, that the things that we're worried about do not leave us when we enter the doors of the sanctuary, when we watch worship online. We know that we bring them with us everywhere we go. And so here in the quiet of this place, we pray, O loving God, that you might take them from us. We lay them before you at your feet, at your altar, for we know that you care for us. We know that our lives are lived in the palm of your hand. We know that your love never forsakes us or leaves us, but your presence is always there, each and every day. Help us, O God, not only believe that and hear that, but to live into it in this season of Advent. In Christ our Savior we pray. Amen.